The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000, each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace, through music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude's Children Research Hospital received $150,000, and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai, entitled, By All Means, Be a Vegetarian, in Stanton, California, USA, on May 19, 1991.
How's everyone? Was the food okay? You had food? Very good. And why you laugh?
Still talking about food.
Yeah, of course. I mean, isn't that the most important issue of the world? Because of food, we started war, and then we make peace, and then we started war again, all because of food. So, what do you like to hear? Meditation. Okay. Inner peace. Well, if you have one, then you have the other. If you meditate, then you will have inner peace. Yeah. Nobody knows how to meditate? Yeah? You do. You do. Everybody does. You meditate every day on different things. Some meditate on money, some on food, some on boyfriend. Some on girlfriend, some on business, some on children, wives, husbands, and textbooks, and sometimes on fame, position, power, and occasionally on God when business doesn't go well. When all the meditation fails, then we might meditate on God for a while. Yeah. So do not tell me that you don't know about meditation. Yeah. I will have to tell you a different kind of meditation, and by which and with which we will overcome most of the difficulties in this life. And then we do not need to meditate on too many techniques or too many subjects. Instead, meditate on one only, and we get many things or other things. Just like the Bible stated that, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all the things shall be added unto you. You feel familiar with the Bible, yeah? More familiar with the Bible than with other scriptures. Otherwise, I am also familiar with many other kind of religious texts. Now, it's not that we have to sit there and think about God all the time. It's just that we have to merge in God and become one with God, and that we always in God consciousness. That is what it means by the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said to us that the kingdom of God comes not through observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. If it is so, then what shall we do? Still, we must meditate. Even though it is said that the kingdom of God comes not through observation, mean not through meditation even. When you observe something, means you really pay attention to that subject. Is that not so? English meaning, yeah? So, that also means meditation, contemplation. But even then, that doesn't give us the kingdom of God. It just makes us more aware of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God isn't made of meditation, or by meditation, or with meditation, or through meditation. But by doing meditation, we become aware of our kingdom of God, which is already existing. So that is the wisdom of old. But nevertheless, even then, in the other part of the Bible, it is also said, when you pray to your Father, enter into your secret chamber, the closet, and pray in secret. And then your Father, who sees you pray in secret, will reward you openly. So now how do you pray in secret? The Bible teaches us that we must not pray loudly like the heathen do. Is that right? Yeah, don't make loud noise like the hypocrites or the heathens do, but enter into the secret chamber and pray secretly. Now, the secret is there. So that's why mostly we pray a lot, very loud. Everybody hears it, except God. So most of the times, our wish doesn't get the fulfillment that it deserves, because we probably do not do what the Bible taught us. If we believe in the Bible, then we must study more carefully about what to do. According to very reliable source of research and archaeology, unearthed materials, we know that Jesus has been all over many countries, especially India, Tibet, and studied with many enlightened masters of different school at that time. And you know, when you go to India and you truly search for masters, then you will find those with a meditative way of life. They will teach you at least meditation. I don't mean you just pick any on the street and worship him as a master. You must truly look for, yeah? Any of the masters I know practice meditation. And most of the famous Tibetan lamas do too, yeah? Even though probably in a different way. But they do meditate. So if Jesus went there for 13 or 19 years, anyhow, more than dozens of years, then he probably had a chance to meet some of these so-called masters. He probably had met some of the underqualified masters before, probably teach him some mantras or do some yogic exercise or miracles or things like that to turn water into milk or water into wine, etc. He probably has learned these things in the earlier days before he met the so-called meditative masters of the Himalayas. But finally, he would have met them. And even then, to do those tricks, you must also do some kind of meditation technique, even though for sometimes only, temporarily. Now, when Jesus met these people, then he must have meditated. He must learn how to meditate. Otherwise, how could he shut himself in the desert for 40 days without break? Can you just now suddenly go into the desert and shut yourself inside there for 40 days alone? It's impossible. Except with training, with the preparation before. For example, for us, those who practice the meditation techniques we call Guan Yin method, means observing the inner word, or the inner sound, the word of the Bible, or the sound of God. We often do a 7 days retreat, or sometimes 1 month retreat. For us, it's very usual. But for ordinary people who do not practice meditation, you cannot sit for 5 minutes, never mind 5 days. You want to try and sit for 5 minutes without moving your mind or your body, then you become master already. Therefore, when we know that Jesus went to the desert for 40 days to meditate, we also could conclude or could get out the hint that he has been trained in meditation technique. He has been doing meditation all the time. And that probably is the last retreat that he does in order to go out to preach the message of God. Most of the masters do that before they go out into the world or before they decided whether they want to take the cross or not. It's a kind of last minute when you hear the alarm clock in the morning and you don't just wake up right away. You know you have to go, but last minute enjoy the warmth of the bed. Similarly, most of the masters, after enlightenment, if they know that God has assigned them the mission of being the prophet of the age or the messiah of the day, they would go into retreat for some time just to prepare themselves mentally, physically, psychically to face the hard task ahead and to walk the long road that God has assigned to them. So you see the life of Buddha, no? You know the Buddha, yeah? Before he went out to preach the message, he also went on retreat for 49 days. Not 40 days. Probably Jesus also went for 49 days. Why 49 days? Because 7 times 7. You know, when you study many so-called mystical science, people believe in the number sevens. Even they say God made the world in 6 days, and he rests in the 7th days, right? Okay, so anyhow, altogether make 7. Yeah. And all the Egyptian mathematical information are left over in the pyramid. They also mention anything with 7. They believe that 7 is the good number and the number of creative energy. It's probably a number of success in any kind of spiritual endeavor, right? So therefore, when the Buddha went for retreat, he also takes 7 days, 7, make 49. And when we make retreat, we mostly also make 7 days retreat. It just become like a very acceptable tradition. So nobody questioned the 7 days. Therefore, I guess maybe Jesus also went for 49 days. Or maybe he thought he'd make a break out of traditional tracks. He said, wow, why 9 days more? I had enough. Just walk out. He did not care for the reputation of a so-called Messiah. He did what he has to do. I guess he has very less ego. He doesn't consider the ordinary opinion of people. So probably that's why he walked out of his retreat on the 40th day. He thought, wow, 9 more days make no difference. I'm enlightened anyhow. And what I got to do, I got to do. The earlier, the better. But what I mean is probably, you see, that's how we know Jesus had been meditating before. Otherwise, how does he know? Yeah? How does he meditate for 40 days? The same like Buddha or Mohammed. When you study the life of Mohammed, you know, he also made a retreat before he appeared to preach in his country or to his fellow believer. Is that not so? All of them did the same thing. And coincidentally, I also did the same thing, even though I know nothing about that. I mean, I did not intend to make a retreat first and then to go out. Everything just has been done the way it should be done. Just naturally, just like when you're hungry, you eat. You're tired, you sleep. So if we would like to have inner peace, then we must have satisfaction. We must have a kind of extraordinary satisfaction that could overcome all other desires in order to have what you required earlier, inner peace. It's not that difficult to attain what you just request. And what you requested, what the lady, our friend, requested, was the only thing that's worth requesting and the only thing that we should attain and should yearn for, because by attaining inner peace, yeah, we will attain everything else. That is also the name for the kingdom of God. All the miracles, all the satisfaction, all the fulfillment of worldly and heavenly desires come from the kingdom of God, come from the inner realization of our eternal harmony, of our eternal wisdom, and of our almighty power. If we do not get this, we never find satisfaction in this world. Doesn't matter how much money we have, doesn't matter what kind of position we hold, doesn't matter how much things this world has offered at our feet. That's why, again, in the Bible, it is said, what good does a man if he gains the whole world and loses the soul, yeah, or the kingdom of God? Because the soul is connected with the kingdom of God. The soul can only feel happy in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is within us, is at hand. So we don't need to really go to the Himalaya to search for it. We might go to the church to pray if that is helpful to us and make us find a little bit of comfort, yeah, for our daily stress. But that is not the kingdom of God. Once we found the kingdom of God, we never lose it again. And everything else is at our command. Therefore, Buddha has forsaken the kingdom of the earth. Therefore, Jesus refused to be the king of the Jew, officially. His disciples and his followers wanted so much to make him the king of the Jews. But he refused. He said, my kingdom is not on earth. My kingdom is with my Father in heaven. And he even recommended everyone to lay your treasure upon heaven and not on earth, because here things will get damaged and destroyed. What he meant is we should put all our attention, our love to realize God, to God. Love your God with all your soul or your mind or your strength. But it's difficult to understand all this saying in the Bible. Therefore, the Bible say again, seeing you see, but you do not perceive. Hearing you hear, but you do not understand. Why is that? Most of us, when we read the Bible, we only read the vocabulary. And we don't even understand the true impact in the Bible. And also the Bible sometimes stated paradoxical statements and confused people. But I do not believe that the Bible is paradoxical. I do believe in the misinterpretation of the later generation, of the ego of the interpreters who wants to interpret it the way he thinks and the way he understands it without further deeply study into the subject and meditate on the true meaning of the Bible. For example, in the first chapter of the Old Testament, God said, I made all the herbs in the field and all the beautiful fruit trees. These shall be your meat. Yeah? So, meat in that sense means meals, means only food. It doesn't mean meat as what we eat nowadays, like beef steaks or pork chops. And what next? Oh, is that not so? But then in other interpretation, they think, well, meat means meat. Yeah. And also, if someone who never cared about the true meaning of it would interpret it as meat, but actually in the original text, I heard it means meal. Meat at that time meant anything for food. Doesn't mean meat like we mean today. And also, for example, in India, we have a kind of very sweet, they call it sweet meat. Those of you who went to India would have eaten them and know what I mean, sweet meat. And now if we translate it into our language, it becomes sweet meat. It's correct. I mean meat, which is sweet. And if we don't know that, and if we have never been in India, or if we do not care to truly understand what that means, we put it as meat. And all the master in India would eat meat by now. Sweet meat. Yeah. And now if somebody interprets it and they, wow, nonsense. How can meat be sweet? Probably the author wrote it wrong. Probably he mean lean meat. Yeah. And probably the interpreter has a kind of double eye glasses and he read it wrong. Yeah, because sometimes people write it by hand and sometimes, you know, you can see it in wrong light. If you study in college, sometimes the teacher make a test, you know, like he whispered into your ear one word and then tell you to whisper to the next and the next to the next, and when it turned to the 15 or 50, you know, It changed. Changed the whole thing, the whole meaning, the whole word. Is that not so? Do you have that test? Then you know what I mean. So now, 2,000 years ago, you know what it means. When it changed, when the word, one word changed from the first to the 15th or 50th person, in the same room, same time, within a few minutes, how do you think many thousand words would preserve their purity and originality after 2,000 years? So, it's very pitiful for us to grovel in this kind of darkness and trying to find out the exact meaning of God interpreted by men. So the only thing is we have to pick out what is logical. Try to use all our might and sincerity to pray for enlightenment. At least to pray for the right meaning and the right text from the Bible. And pray to God that we pick out only the right one. Well, I did pray very hard. When I was younger, I prayed to God every day. I sleep with the Bible every day. I feel better that way. When I was in Vietnam, then I pray with the Buddhist Bible. When I am in Europe, I have no Buddhist Bible, so I pray with the Catholic Bible. And I read every day, one chapter at least. And when I went to the church, I pray for nothing else except, God, if you exist, show me. That's all. Let me know you. Show yourself to me. I never pray for anything else. The same, I pray the same to Buddha. If really you exist, yeah? Please show me where you are, that's all. So probably because of this prayer and sincerity, I have known God, I have known Buddha. Anyhow, we are good friends now. God is there all the time. Has been, always there, and will always be. Just that we ignore God, not God ignores us. And it's so simple that we live in God every day, every second, every splitting moments of our life. But we just don't know. And because we are ignorant of the fact that God takes care of everything, we really do not believe that even one hair falls down is also the decision of the Lord. Is this not so? It says so in the Bible. It is truly so. And we only know that and believe that after we truly experience God. I mean God consciousness. I mean truly know the kingdom of God. Truly surrender. And then we have no more sin whatsoever. Because we truly understand that we are helpless. That God is the one who runs the universe. And so what happens with the free will, you would ask me. The free will is for you to believe that you are the one who does things. You're free to believe that. Nobody stops you. But you have also the free will to believe that God is the one who runs the universe. And in order to have this confidence to believe that God is the one who runs the universe, we must contemplate on God in a right way. Otherwise, our free will just run free, run wild. We believe in all kinds of things that is brainwashed into our knowledge. We believe in the society's customs and do's and don'ts and to be and not to be and to do and not to do. And we do not believe in God. The negative power teaches us that we have sins that we are terrible, that we are originally born in sin and die in sin, that except Jesus, we have no one else as Savior, that we are always sinner anyhow, and we could never become like Jesus, or we could never have any worth as human beings. But why? In the Bible it says God made man in His own image. That means at least we are very similar to God. Why should we be sinful if we are in the image of God? When somebody is made in the image of someone, is that very much alike? Is that not so? So now, if we are very much like God, then we are nothing else except we are God.
Thank you for joining us today on Words of Wisdom. Part 2 of By All Means Be a Vegetarian will be airing on Friday. Please keep your dial tuned here to Supreme Master Television for Models of Success right after Noteworthy News. May the Providence guide your life in nobility, wisdom, and love.